the deal is a very complex deal. It includes a lot of elements: visa liberalization, the opening of additional chapters, support for Turkey, financial support, going even beyond what had already been supportive of. So it includes many elements. The new element, or and one of the cornerstones of it, is that people would be directly resettled from Turkey to the EU, to EU member states. What has been agreed in terms of principle is that for every person who will have been retransferred back to Turkey after he or she would have tried to enter Greece, another person, Syrian person, refugee, would be resettled directly from Turkey into the EU, into individual EU member states.
But with that particular deal, and obviously, as you say, details still need to be worked out, that doesn't seem to, in the end, reduce the overall numbers of potential asylum seekers or asylum seekers in the EU. If they send everyone back and then the numbers that they send to Turkey, they then resettle from Turkey to the EU, how does that actually reduce numbers?
Yes, the overall aim these days is to reduce the numbers so that they are far less than they had been in 2015. This is the major objective. By the way, this will not end the so-called migration and refugee crisis. And there's also more structural things which need to be done beyond that. And I hope that they will be done. But the principal aim now is to reduce the numbers. And a lot of things are being done. So the Turkey element, which we're now talking about, the resettlement, is one element of a very complex puzzle, which in total can lead to a reduction in terms of numbers. And the aspiration is that with respect to the resettlement and this element of the Turkey deal, that less people will even be trying to enter the EU in what was called an illegal way, that they will try to find another way to get into the European Union through the resettlement, or that they would not even try because what they're seeing now is that you're not be able to cross Greece into other EU member states because the Balkan route is closed. So the overall aspiration is that less people will even be trying to enter the European Union.
Do you believe that what Guy Verhofstadt said, that the EU was just outsourcing its problems to Turkey, is true with this deal?
To some degree, that is correct. That's why I was saying that even if you achieve to reduce the numbers substantially compared to 2015, there's more things which need to be done. There's a way how the EU needs to introduce legal ways of migration, which go beyond what we have now and which also go well beyond what will be part of the EU-Turkey deal. There is a need for a common European asylum policy. So we're talking about structural fundamental changes which still need to be done, which will need some time. But I think one needs to see these things in connection. So yes, you want to reduce the numbers, but at the same time, you need to be aware of the fact that, let's call them the negative forces of globalization in this case, are forcing people to leave their homes, and they're seeking asylum, they're seeking refuge, and the European Union, together with many other actors and its member states, have the obligation to also provide refuge to those which are on the basis of international law, have the right to ask for refuge. So the Guy Verhofstadt is right in that respect, and more needs to be done.
Do you think he was also right when he said that the EU was giving too much access to Turkey and the EU and too much power, essentially, handing the keys of Europe to what he called the Sultan or the Ottoman Empire?
That I would disagree with. I think that, yes, it's a very complex puzzle to achieve the primary objective of today, which is to reduce the numbers, where Turkey is one element, but it's not the only element. It's a big part of the puzzle, but it's not the only piece. And we need Turkey, that's correct. This is also why this discussion is happening with a country which, and a government of that country and a president of the country, which hasn't been easy to be dealing with. Now, having said that, Turkey also has an interest in coming to a so-called deal with the EU. It has an interest because it is itself finding itself in a very difficult geopolitical position. And I know that in international relation terms, one doesn't use these terms, but it doesn't have a lot of friends on the international scene. It's not very close to Washington these days. It has a very difficult relationship with Moscow, after the shooting down of the Russian plane. So it needs also some supporters in the system. So it itself has an interest to be in line, to have an agreement, to find a compromise with the EU and with its member states. So it is something where both sides have an interest, which means that from the European perspective, yes, Turkey is a key partner in this attempt, but at the same time, it's not that Turkey can ask everything from us.
You mentioned earlier about the EU and indeed all countries' obligation to provide asylum when someone needs it. With this deal, as you mentioned earlier, at the moment, everyone will be sent back to Turkey, and then from there, people can apply that would qualify for asylum. But human rights groups have said that this deal is also illegal because it's not checking people's asylum rights on the border of Europe. It's essentially, at least in the first instance, refusing their right to asylum.
Yes, this is an argument. There are also counter-arguments. And I think that the legal ground is something which you will see that there will be different interpretations. We see that from the EU's perspective, also from the European Commission's perspective, that the argument is that Turkey is and will be a safe country, a third country which is safe in the sense that people coming from there can be returned back to Turkey. Now, yes, this is something which can be disputed. This is why it is so important that there will be still what one can call legal avenues for people who are seeking refuge to be able to enter the European Union. So even if you're able to shelter the EU from them arriving, there still is, for humanitarian reasons, and the need to support. At the same time, one needs to be realistic in the sense that the level of support and the way in which people are entering and coming to the European Union needs to be a manageable and an organized way. If there is the sentiment that things are happening in an uncontrolled fashion, and this is a sentiment which you can feel in many member states, either in those which have already accepted a lot of refugees, like Germany or Sweden, but also in countries which have not accepted and where the readiness to accept has been low from the beginning. So you need to create a situation in which you have a balance between solidarity on the one hand and security on the other hand. And I think this is the principle which now is being tried to be achieved, to find that balance of solidarity and security, which will allow the EU and its member states to have a European solution to this challenge. The worst thing would could happen is if you would have individual national attempts to solve the problem, which at the end of the day won't work, and it also might have very negative repercussions on the EU in general. So to find an EU way of dealing with this, even though one can be critical of it in some ways, I think is the right aspiration.